1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And now Phil explains the bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet.
Hello, Mr. Hendry. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Frodo. How are you?
I'm good, Mr. Hendry.
Haven't seen you in a while, Frodo.
Well, I've been busy studying the world. I know it's important.
It's very important, Frodo. What's your question today for me?
Mr. Hendry, what do the terrorists want? They're scary and stuff.
Well, they are scary, Frodo. Unfortunately, what the terrorists want is really nothing short of what Adolf Hitler wanted. The elimination of trade unions, the rights of women, the elimination of Jewish people, no state of Israel. What the terrorists want is, well, they want a theocratic dictatorship, one based upon a warped interpretation of a religion.
Uh-huh.
You see, Frodo, the terrorists are nothing more than fascists. They're individuals who, well, they deal in terror, the murder of innocent civilians, as much as the Nazis did. Are you listening to me?
Yeah, sure.
Why are you sweating? And why are you wearing that heavy overcoat in the winter? I mean, in the summer, because it's 100 degrees outside, isn't it, bud?
Yeah.
Wait a second. What's under that coat?
Hey, get your hands off me.
Wait a minute. It's a bomb. Everybody hit the deck!
Firecrackers. What a douchebag.
What was that?
You douche. They were just firecrackers. It was a dud.
Yeah.
You douche. They were just firecrackers. Did you put him up to this, bud?
I guess they put the firecrackers in it and wear a heavy coat and sweat a lot. You'll think you're a terrorist.
Boy, what a spooge.
You little jackass. If I had my sewing machine...
Yeah, but you don't, do you? Uh-huh. Looks like you got your heels locked on Phil Explains the Bullcrap with me, Frodo the Puppet.
What a spooge.
And now the BBC presents Professor Husband Ginther with Man on the Move. This evening... Muslim society meets Christian society.
Hello, I'm Professor Husband Ginther, and this is Man on the Move. What do we mean when we say the initial contact of Muslim society with Christian society? Well, it was quite a phenomenon. You see, in the Middle Ages, it was the belief of the Muslim caliphate that theirs should be a Muslim world, and... You there, the man on camera 3, why are you sweating?
I'm not doing anything.
You're wearing a long coat. Oh, I get it. There's a dud under your coat, right? Just firecrackers? I'm Professor Heisegither. Be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I just don't like that, bud, okay?
I'm sorry.
I got this Frodo the Puppet segment. You guys come on with firecrackers, and Professor Husband Ginther got his rear end blown right out of the tub here. We spent a lot of money to have the professor come in here and do his cultural report.
I'm sorry, okay? Here, have a cigar.
A cigar?
Yeah, just to show there's no hard feelings.
Well, don't mind if I do.
Now, don't puff on it until the tip gets good and red and hot, okay?
Sure.
There you go.
Very nice. You bastard.
Better go get cleaned up.
Real funny, man.
Ah, come on. Here, have another cigar.
I ain't having another cigar.
Seriously.
I'm not having another cigar.
You think I'm going to pull the gag twice?
I don't want a cigar, okay?
Come on. I'm really very, very sorry. I know you're trying to move the show ahead, and I'm sorry.
I don't want to have a cigar. It's going to blow up.
I swear to God, I swear on a stack of Bibles that it isn't going to blow up.
Yes, David.
Come on, have some faith in your fellow man. Ain't you always talking about that? Ain't you talking about how we got to fight fascists and stuff? Start the fight against fascism by accepting Bud's peace offering. Darth Hall out.
All right, I'll have a cigar. Thank you, Bud.
Yeah, see? Jesus, what a baby. Everything with you, you don't trust people. That's the problem.
All right, give me a light.
Sure.
You go for it again?
You bet.
What a jackass.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Man. Would the power go out? Here, somebody light this candle.
Get out, all of you. No, I don't want to have a cigarette even. Get these Marlboro lights or whatever these things are out of here. You know, I got a friend of mine. We were out golfing one weekend. We got an annual golf tournament that we do called the Old Boot, which, by the way, those guys just emailed me again from Ireland. But we also have one the boot used to be in the winter and a bunch of big complicated thing. But anyway, we're playing golf one day and we're all in the driving range. Now, what's the oldest gag in the book? Well, probably the exploding cigar, but after that, the exploding golf ball's got to be one of them, isn't it? Now, see, I never understood the chattering teeth gag, just teeth chattering on a table, whatever. And the whoopee cushion, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I never was able to get it to work. This friend of mine, these two brothers, I'm golfing with about five guys, well, two of them are brothers, and one of them says to me, "Watch this." So I go, okay. So there's about 10 of us standing there on a driving range. You know how it is. There's like 10 guys lined up. And so this friend of mine, Dan, says to his brother, Don, he says, "Hey, go ahead and hit here. I got one ball left in my bucket here. You hit it." And he puts it on the tee. He goes, "Oh, thanks a lot." So his brother, you know, takes this huge backswing. Sure enough, hits the ball and explodes. And what these exploding golf balls are made out of, essentially, is just chalk. And so as soon as he hit this thing, it couldn't have been more classic because he got a real good swing and he hit it just sweet. You know, if it had been a real golf ball, it would have been a 450-yard drive. This thing just boom. Now, not only is his brother coated with this stuff, looks like something right out of a cartoon, you know, with the white face and everything. Three guys down this line of golfers that don't even know him have got this golf powder or this golf ball powder all over them. I said, "That is the most beautiful gag I've ever seen." So, naturally, you know, I asked him where he got it, and I bought a whole bag of these things. Tried to sneak them on. You know, it's pretty hard to sneak one of these things on a guy's teeth. "What are you doing?" "Well, I just want you to hit that ball." "You mean the exploding golf ball?" "No, thank you." All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And tonight we will have Steve Bozell. And there is more strife in the Bozell household politically. Because, you know, stuff is happening there, man. Steve is against President Bush and his policies, and his wife, April, is decidedly in favor. And Steve feels encircled. He feels like he's not only encircled in terms of his wife's opinions, but the kids, too. April Jr. and Steve Jr. So we'll find out how he's dealing with that tonight on The Phil Hendry Show. Now, our website is www.philhendryshow.com. We've been able to solve some of the podcast problems. I'm going to read some email tonight from some people who are actually very happy. You know, they're actually digging it. I mean, there's not a lot of complaining and crying. There's people saying, "Hey, you know what? I just want to weigh in, Phil, and let you know that I think the podcasts are sounding fine. And we're doing what we can to strip the music from podcasts and still deliver them to your pod, if you will, so that the program content is not interrupted." For those of you who don't even know what it is I'm talking about, I barely know what I'm talking about myself. But it kind of goes something like this. The Phil Hendry Show is automatically delivered to individuals who subscribe to our website and who also want the show in their pod. So it, without having to think about it, the show automatically is downloaded to their iPod. Okay? Because it is directly downloaded into the iPod, for some reason, don't ask me why, the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, believes that the artists who have music on any program that's downloadable need to be compensated. My company doesn't want to do that. My company would rather strip the music out of the downloaded show than pay the artists. And so what happens when the show is directly downloaded into someone's iPod, the music is stripped out of it. And as a result, we had a lot of complaints from people because you can't separate the music from the program content. If I'm talking and there's music under me, what happened was the whole thing was gone. A lot of people were complaining, and rightfully so. One guy said, "Hey, thanks a lot, man. I got the show downloaded tonight. One of the hours was 6 minutes long." For some reason, every bit that I did that hour had music under it, so he didn't hear a thing. We finally been able to do something. What we've been able to do is strip the music out of the downloaded podcast without losing the other program content. And as a result, I think everybody's kind of cool with it. In fact, here's David. He writes, "Hey, Phil, don't let anyone give you crap on the MP3 downloads. They're great. They've changed my life. No more comb-over boy on the drive home. You are not on until 7 here in P-Town. He's in Portland. Now I can listen to you anytime. I've stopped listening to all other talk radio. I've stopped watching TV. And no more newspapers. You are my sole source of all news and information, and I've never been happier. My sex life is better, and I have more friends than ever. I'm tan, and I bought a ski boat. Thanks, David. All right. Dear Phil, I just wanted to know if you knew about this website and that so much information about your radio show. It's called, you guys ever heard of this Wikipedia? Well, it's a website that is a modern encyclopedia, I guess, of modern cultural personalities and events. It's actually in some ways better than your own website, and it made me die laughing. There was a lot I learned about your characters, like RC's history and stuff. Maybe you'd like to mention it on the show. Also, do you know who wrote all that stuff, especially the character descriptions? Somebody must really love you. Well, we all love you. I especially like when it says you've been going through a renaissance since January 2004. I mean, you're one of the reasons I'm glad I was born in this time period. When I really think about the depth of your characters, it's mind-boggling. You're a modern-day Tolstoy. Well, thank you, Ryan. I don't know who Tolstoy is, but I think he's the guy that got an axe in the back of his head in Mexico City in 1940.
All right.
He is, too. He was you don't even want to know about it. It's really sick.
No, tell me about it.
I don't want to tell you about it, okay, bud? Because
no, I really want to know. Here, have a cigar while you tell me.
Okay. You see...
Come on, tell me about it.
Get out of here! Tolstoy, I got crap all over. Tolstoy was one of the members of the Russian Revolution, the ruling intelligentsia elite of the Russian Soviet Communist Revolution, along with Lenin and along with the other guy, whatever his name was. I forget his name. Stalin, all them cats, right? Tolstoy fell out of favor with Lenin. Tolstoy believed that Lenin betrayed the revolution. You know, every time there's a revolution, some guy gets killed who was originally one of the cool guys. As Voltaire said, all revolutions eat their young. Anyway, Tolstoy splits, goes to Mexico. Lenin has secret agents from the KGB follow him there. And then one night, in the middle of the night, while Tolstoy is laying there napping, some guy walks in and puts a pickaxe in his freaking head. So there you go. That's what happened to, you know, that's what happened to Tolstoy. Anyway, thanks for your email there, Ryan. Appreciate it very much. The podcast questions. Here's my confusion. It says in your site that on-demand stuff should contain music. No. In other words, if I don't podcast it, instead, if I just go to your archive page and directly download an MP3, shouldn't I be getting music or no? Maybe many of these non-music shows are butchered to the point of making no sense. It would be great to hear David G. Hall again. Brian. I don't know, man. Here is Brian and Lisa writing, Phil, thank you for mentioning us on your show the other night. These two guys are real screwballs. And they're always emailing me with new lines. They say we're your number one fans, but not in a Kathy Bates misery sort of way. Best of luck to you and Maria. Thanks for everything. Your number one fans, Brad and Lisa. Favorite lines. Bobby Dooley. I hope your mother gets the chance to dance with Martina Navratilova at the Dinah Shore Golf Classic as my mother did. Go to hell. Lloyd Bonafide. I fought for this country. I was up to my rear end in Mr. Spock haircuts. This is from Eric. Remember those bobbing head dolls where a plastic head is affixed to the base via a spring? Please consider having some made of your characters. That would be true collectible souvenirs and in sharp contrast to the crap you're currently selling. Love the show, Eric. Are you crazy, man? The stuff I'm selling is beautiful. Plus, it's high-quality stuff. Bobblehead dolls? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to have a Harvey Weinman bobblehead doll on your desk or something? There ain't a chance. This is from a senior airman at the Luke Air Force Base in Arizona. He says, I'm glad you mentioned the heat in Arizona. I'm a senior airman jet engine specialist working on F-16s. It's the pit of hell, and it is the flight line here with the flesh-melting jet exhaust. It adds about 10 to 20 years to your face. I've met guys who look like they're 50 years old. When flying insects land on the ground, they're instantly well done. This is the only place I've seen hummingbirds stop for a breather. A poorly made pair of combat boots leave footprints behind where the rubber sole is melted. When I think of the heat, I remember Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam talking about little men in orange robes bursting into flames in crotch pot. On the line, crotch pot cooking. On the line, we call it swamp ass. I wonder what settlers had in mind when they stopped here. People are just not meant to live here. Anyway, thanks for what you do, and great show as always, Senior Airman Clover. What was that, just a string of gags about the heat? And just other things. So I want to thank you guys for the email, and we're very happy to have gotten the MP3s fixed. Oh, here's one from Robert Jones. Oh, you remember the radio station I told you about that had a poll up on its website? Would you like to hear Phil tape delayed 24 hours, or would you like to hear Michael Savage live? Right? Now, that if ever there was a loaded question, if ever they were trying to direct the voting in a certain direction. So these guys have the website, the question. Do you think Phil Hendry should stay on the air 4 to 7, even though it's 24 hours old? Or would you like to hear Michael Savage live? Dude writes, Phil, I'm a loyal backstage pass holder. I'm one of those people that would rather listen to you 24 hours late than Michael Savage. The only time I heard you live was about 2 weeks ago when I was in the L.A. area. The poll that they're running now puts you and Savage against each other for sponsors, and you're winning 75% to 25%. Last time we were on, it was like 65-35. The email you read didn't tell at all. Not only were they going to put you on later, but they were only going to broadcast 2 hours of your show and 3 hours of Savage. The reason they're doing all this is because the other station that they own went to Air America shows, and they didn't feel Savage belonged with that format. Sounds like something Bud came up with. Anyway, thanks for all the laughs. Why don't you put it? I think putting Michael Savage on Air America is hysterical. I think it's beautiful. And it's probably more what talk radio should be about, which is a variety of opinions, wouldn't you say? As opposed to just one long nonstop commercial for some new Al Franken book or some guy who's running for, you know, I don't know, some guy who's running for senator of Massachusetts. So anyway, the guys up north have decided, they haven't made the decision yet, but they've obviously put a poll up. Now, I don't think that internet polls are anywhere near as scientific as, say, the current way that we collect ratings. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like taking a phone poll. Yes, you can only vote once, but who's voting? And they used to rate things that way. They would call people and say, what TV show are you watching now? And the guy would answer, and they'd say, well, look at this. This show's number one. Yeah, all those people that you call have phones. What about the ones that don't have phones? What do you mean? Well, what about them? So as a result, they stopped doing phone polls. So now the internet has taken over, and it's just as unscientific. However, the fact is, it's very nice of you guys to alert me to that, and I'm very, very much appreciative of that. Hi, Phil. Just wanted to say it's about time that Jay Santos take the auxiliary police to the border to help with the civilian operations, Operation Minuteman, and make sure they don't make any trouble or break any laws. Perhaps Herb could go along to help handle the young illegals in his counseling tent. I love your show. I would kill if it ever went off the air. Thank you for all the laughs, J.H. And his last name, by the way, is Hell. J. Hell. All right, have you guys ever heard of this guy named Brian Ladd? Now, if this is a scam, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. This guy's got a website, and on it, and it's called Brian Predicts, or Brian's Predictions. And for the first time, I got unsolicited email from this website. It shows him, it's a sketch of a dream that he had the night before. And I got a sketch today that it says Brian's Predictions, and he has sketched out, you don't even know what it is. It looks like a big squiggle, a big box, and something else that's crashed into it. And he had a dream last night that a bus and a tractor trailer were going to crash on Interstate 70. And these are his predictions. So naturally, I went online looking for a bus and a trailer that had crashed on Interstate 70. I realized, I don't know when this guy's, when's it going to happen? 10 years from now? The dude has got a website, and he's got predictions going back a full year, by the month, by the day. And I think you can even actually subscribe to it. Now, not that I believe anything that he's saying, but I'm thinking, why didn't I think of that? That's beautiful. See, I'm always a day late and a dollar short, bud.
I'll have a cigar.
Thank you. Don't mind if I...
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight on our show, Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor from Corona, California, but there is political strife within his own family. And it's much like it is in the rest of the country, where often a husband and a wife, a son and a father, a sister and a brother do not agree politically on where our country is headed with regard to this war on terror. So we're going to have Steve Bozell on the show tonight, right after the news, right after your local break at 7 o'clock, whatever you guys, what did I say, 7 o'clock? At the top of the hour, whatever hour it is you're hearing, the next hour. And whatever you do at the top of the hour, it'll be after that. And here we are. Militant Islamists will continue to attack Britain until the government pulls its troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan, one of the country's most outspoken Islamic clerics said on Friday. Muhammad Adolf Hitler said, "What happened yesterday confirmed that as long as..." No, really, the guy's name is like Muhammad some crap. Omar something. He said, "What happened yesterday confirmed that as long as the cause and the root problem is still there, we will say the same effect." Oh, really? Afghanistan too? Oh, I thought everybody agreed on the Afghanistan thing. Well, funny how the argument keeps changing.
It's all about the Iraq war.
Really? Not according to this guy? It's also about Afghanistan. You know, maybe it's just because you got a few nose hairs out of place. You ever think about that? Maybe he just don't like you limeys. Maybe he just doesn't like Jews. Maybe he just doesn't like Americans. Maybe he just doesn't like anything. Bakri, a Syrian-born cleric who's been vilified in Britain since 2001 when he praised the September 11th hijackers, said he did not believe the bombings and attempted attacks on London were carried out by British Muslims. He condemned the killing of all innocent civilians, but described attacks on British and U.S. troops in Muslim countries as pro-life and justified. So I thought he said, though, that the bombings are going to continue as long as we're in Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't hear him saying, don't bomb anybody. Nice going, man. So good to see all of you Muslim cats that lead the congregation coming out and saying, you know, maybe we can chill with this crap already. So great of you guys to be still at this late date, 3 years, 4 years after 9/11, really standing up, man, and just, you know, saying it the way it ought to be said. So good of you to be still, I don't know, whatever it is you're doing, man. Having meetings, what? Bake-offs? I don't know. Bake sales? Whatever the Muslim equivalent of the bake sale is. You know, I don't believe that Islam is responsible any more than I believe that Germany was responsible for Nazis. I mean, yeah, they created them, but, you're not going to destroy the country because of those scumbags. Any more than you're going to destroy a religion because of these scumbags. But one thing I will say, just like in Germany, you people really ought to stand up and speak up a little bit more. Instead of being the gutless wonders that a lot of you seem to be, say something about this crap. I ain't even really talking about American Muslims because they're Americans. Most Americans kind of keep their nose to the ground until something happens to them. But the rest of these ragheads ought to say something. And when I say raghead, by the way, I mean people that are not nice. In an interview with Reuters, Bakri described Osama bin Laden, leader of the radical Islamic network of Al-Qaeda, as a sincere man who fights against evil forces. He said he would like Britain to become an Islamic state, but feared he would be deported before his dream was realized. But hey, man, we don't want a profile. Now, do we? Skateboarder branded by manhole cover. This just in, a woman who was branded with letters from the Consolidated Edison logo when she fell off a skateboard onto a searing hot manhole cover in Manhattan last year, filed a lawsuit Thursday seeking specified damages from the utility. Elizabeth Wallenberg, 27, was burned just above her buttock and on her left arm when she fell off her skateboard onto a cover over a steam pipe at 2nd Avenue and 13th Street in the East Village shortly after midnight on August 11th, said her lawyer, Ronald Berman. It literally looked like a brand that had been applied by someone, Berman said, about the burn marks left on Wallenberg's body. He said, yes, Miss Wallenberg has often enjoyed that kind of thing at the hands of her boyfriend, but she didn't think that she'd get it just falling onto a manhole cover. Some women do enjoy being branded, he said, in the privacy of their own homes, but what's that got to do with them skateboarding out in full view at 2 a.m.? Wallenberg, then a Brooklyn resident who worked for a paper magazine, reportedly said she heard her skin sizzle and saw an O and an N from the hot cover impressed upon her. Are you putting me on? She saw an O and an N from the hot cover impressed upon her body. Wallenberg has been told the scarring is permanent. Yeah? What's wrong with that? Why don't you just start dating a guy named Octavio Natchez or something? Get some dude with the initials O and N. The lawsuit filed in Manhattan State Supreme Court accused Con Ed of negligence, carelessness, recklessness, culpable conduct, war crimes, genocide, the victimization of the gypsy, and the annihilation of the rainforest related to Wallenberg's injuries. Court papers said Wallenberg, now a factory worker who lives in Portland, Oregon, is entitled to compensatory and punitive damages because of Con Ed's reprehensible and egregious failure and refusal to protect the public from this manifestly clear and present danger. What? What are they going to do? Oh, now, wait a minute. Man, we got to put rubber covers on a man? Is that it? What, do we got to come up with some new freaking thing to cover up a manhole? Instead of, like, just a metal thing? Hey, anybody can file a lawsuit, as you'll find out tonight with the Steve Bozell segment. Anybody can file a lawsuit. It doesn't mean the court is going to hear it. That's the good news. The bad news, they often do. You know, it's funny, though, if you think about that McDonald's lawsuit that initiated so much of these other lawsuits that so many people find fault with, I actually agreed with the woman. Now, that's the crazy thing about that one. See, she went and she said, may I have a cup of coffee? And they said, yes, you may. And they gave her a liquid that was essentially dangerous. It was too hot to drink and certainly would cause serious damage to a human being if spilled. And spilling things, that happens. Now, a manhole cover just sitting in the middle of the freaking street that some dumbass on her skateboard falls on top of, and she gets Con Ed branded onto her ass. As far as I'm concerned, she probably has a whole new career as a model for Con Edison. That's what I'd do if I was the head of Con Ed. Look, I got an offer to make to you.
What?
Here's what you do. Drop your pants. Let's get a couple of pictures. Con Ed, we're there in the end. Consolidated Edison.
I've been permanently scarred.
Well, yeah, okay, I guess. I mean, what's wrong with that? You got Con Ed right on the butt. Let me see your ass anyway. Who's going to want to look at that fat thing? You're going to have to take about 9,000 pounds off of it. No wonder you were skateboarding. Don't wear a thong. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hal, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, this is Hal Level here. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. How are you, Hal?
Oh, forget it. We're dead.
What the hell happened to that?
I guess they stalled out.
His plane stalled, so he can't call me back, Hal, if you pull it out of the nosedive that it's in. Every day, those guys call all the time, but they never... Are you okay? I don't think they're all right. I think there's trouble there in River City, man. You didn't give us a cigar, did you, bud? 1-800-449-8686. Hal, let's get him back on the line. Hal, are you okay? Or you're not okay? You're going to stall out again, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stall out, Phil. I'm sorry. I had no idea that Viola had not... gas the place. See, there it is.
Well, don't blame me.
God! I had it cruising. I had cut the engine, but forget it. We're gone. I love you, Mom.
Look, at no more phone calls from guys in airplanes. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tonight, we have Steve Bozell and his family as they come on board to talk about how things are there at the house, because they're sort of like politically at odds. And things just ain't too cool there at the house. And apparently there has been some attempt to humiliate him, his daughter, his son, his wife. We'll be talking with Steve. He will be mentioning some things that his attorney, Dolores Blazingame, is trying to help him with. And those include, you know, ways of litigating this thing. The guy's thinking about filing a lawsuit against his wife and daughter for the 9 millionth time. It's the only guy I know that sues his family on a regular basis. Steve Bozell coming up tonight. As a matter of fact, we did have a request from someone. This was a guy who had written us an email, and he wanted to know if we would ever consider books. And I had said that we would do a book of our best lines from the show, or maybe the funniest lines from the show. He started, by the way, with a note saying that the other night we did Island Radio, and the host of the show was Patrice Lumumba. You remember the name that we used? She was the hostess of the show, this radio show. He's the only listener of mine who picked up the fact that that's actually the assassinated leader of the Congo. I mean, I don't know, man. I just pulled a name out of, you know. So anyway, he says, you know, the book that you want to do on your funniest lines, would you consider a book on the lawsuits of Steve Bozell? I don't see why we couldn't do that, even though they've been posted all over the freaking internet. But if we did that in conjunction with the Inventions of Peenemann Enterprises, which is the sponsor of the Art Bell Show, and I think one of the inventions of Peenemann Enterprises is the chili maker, the intergalactic chili maker, which is also a toilet. So when you go to outer space, you use it as not only a port-a-john, but then you can turn it into fantastic chili. Oh, God.
That's great.
There's also the Peenemann Enterprises ass purse, where you just put everything in your purse and just shove it right up there, man, because you never know who's going to want to get your stuff? Another idea, Margaret Gray's greatest hits. As you know, Margaret has sung such songs as Do You Know the Way to San Jose? I think the other night she came on the program and sang Midnight Train to Georgia. She has sung a great many and butchered a great many more. And then there's the various community programs coordinated by Bobby Dooley, whether it's the Springtacular, the Summertacular, the Falltacular, or the Wintertacular. Bobby's always got some bullcrap going on. So we will think about that. These are, you know, just ways of making some cash, man. That's the way I see it. It's like a cottage industry, man. I just got to figure out how we can really start to squeeze the dollars out of this thing. We'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What was the problem?
Well, the problem was, Phil, that I listened to your show last night, and I heard a man make a comment that I thought was not acceptable, and that's why I'm calling your show right now. And I usually get a kick out of a lot of the things you say and a lot of the things that go on in your program or think are entertaining. But what I heard this man say on your program last night was not an acceptable thing. And I think it goes beyond normal humor. I think it extends itself into an area of unacceptability.
This was when we had Mr. Green on?
You had a gentleman on who identified himself as the COO of a grocery chain. Is that correct?
That's Bob Green.
Well, at that time, I was listening to the hour, and I heard the man say that he would rather that his son go and see the Tijuana Donkey Show than read the Harry Potter books. Now, I think that that's completely unacceptable. I don't think that it is.
Well, it was a pretty extreme comment.
Well, it's not only extreme comment, but I didn't hear you say anything about it. In fact, I thought I heard you laughing.
Well, if I did laugh, I was laughing at the absurdity of a father thinking that the Harry Potter books are so obscene that he would rather have his son go down to the so-called Tijuana Donkey Show, which, you know, for your information, nobody even really knows whether it exists or not, you know.
Well, I can assure you that it does exist, and I don't want you to press me any further with that questioning.
You've been there.
I didn't say that. I was in the service, though, in San Diego, and I know a great many young men who are in the service with me, so I don't want to go any further with that. But for you to allow that kind of comment to be published in your program.
Well, I got nothing against the Harry Potter books. My kids read them. That man was very angry. He was upset because he had put a lot of money into trying to help the homeless and trying to help the elderly during a heat wave, and for whatever reason, he got off on the Harry Potter thing.
Well, the man was obviously bitter over the success of the books, and that J.K. Rowling, the author of those books, had been feeded successfully, and he wasn't doing a good job with his helping the homeless. But that's got nothing to do with allowing those comments to be published. And it's one of the reasons, I think, why so many of us have a problem with broadcasting. And I think that this is exactly what it is, to say that I would rather have my son go to the T.J. Donkey Show than read Harry Potter is completely unacceptable.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's a comment like that that makes broadcast. That's not really technically an obscene comment.
Well, I think that it is.
Well, it might be obscene to J.K. Rowling and her publishers, and it might be considered obscene to animal rights activists, but technically, according to the FCC, it is not an obscene comment. It's a stupid thing to say.
Well, I think it's entirely stupid. Have you read the Harry Potter books?
No, I have not read the Harry Potter books. My sons and my daughter have read the Harry Potter books. And I don't want to read it. You know, I'd rather read sports pages. I don't know, you know.
Well, there's a great many things in the Harry Potter books that are exciting and interesting. And the T.J. Donkey Show is not anything that I think anyone is even going to begin to make a serious claim competes with the Harry Potter books, depending upon, you know, what you like. But,
all right, that's fine. I would totally understand that. I can understand, though, that there are probably some guys that think the T.J. Donkey Show is way more interesting than the Harry Potter books. And there's probably some people who don't even know what the hell it is you and I are talking about right now.
Well, I can assure you, Mr. Hendry, that the T.J. Donkey Show doesn't hold a candle to the Harry Potter books.
Okay, well, you're getting dangerously close now to saying something you said you didn't want to say.
What's that?
That you don't want to say whether you've been to the T.J. Donkey Show.
Well, I'm not going to say that, sir. I'm a father and I'm a husband. I'm just simply saying to you that the T.J. Donkey Show doesn't hold a candle to the Harry Potter books. Now, you can read between the lines if you want.
Fine, great, man. Here's what I'm reading between the lines. You've read the Harry Potter books, and you've been to the TJ Donkey Show.
How dare you? How dare...
Well, that's what you're saying.
What's that? What am I hearing?
That's music. I gotta end the hour.
So do I stop talking?
Yes.
And when do I get to talk again?
No, I'm hanging up on you. I gotta do another guest.
Is that music now drowning me out?
All right.
Because I can't even hear myself think now.
It's pretty loud, yeah. Sir, I would recommend that every child read the Harry Potter books and that you and I cease our discussion of TJ Donkey shows.
So now you want to control my life and what I get a thrill out of.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.